Hey y'all, hey, welcome to Such a Lady Ann. I'm your host Siobhan. If you are new and tuning in, welcome to our toxic family. We are happy you are here and we hope you stay for a while. To our sales, listen, thank y'all for coming back each week, tuning in with your girl. Listen, I'm trying to get better. I hope I sound better than I did last week, but your girl is getting there, hopefully. Also, Such a Lady got approved for ads. Oh, yay. Congratulations. So if you hear some ads, do not be mad. It's bringing Such a Lady more coverage. So we'll take the help any way that we can get in. Also, it doesn't help that it brings more cash to Such a Lady. So if you hear an ad, don't be mad. Don't be like, oh, I'm going to leave. Stay. It's helping a girl out. Listen, I appreciate y'all. Now, how about this Saturday? Like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday this week. Boss Up Candles and Her Faith is having a 80 sip and pape party. And I thought it was 2 weeks ago, 2 weeks away. Like, I don't know when I officially checked out, but I did. So I say all that to say, if you're in the Oklahoma City area and you don't have anything to do this Saturday, come hang out with your girl. We're going to have an 80s style sip and paint, and we're just going to have a good time. So yeah, if you're interested, I'll definitely put it on the page. I would love to hang out with you guys. I'm not lying. I really would. I keep trying to think of ways that I could incorporate Such a Lady so that we could meet, and I just keep not coming up with stuff. So if y'all got some ideas, throw them out there, because I really want to, like, y'all are, I can't wait to meet my family. It's gonna be so dope, y'all. It is. It's gonna happen. I just don't know how, but I know for a fact it's gonna happen. So I'm excited about that. I'm excited about that. So this week's Such a Lady is Diamond Maze 2763. Go sis, go Diamond. It's your birthday. I don't know if it's your birthday, but I just, you know, got in the moment. thank you for your support. Such a Lady appreciates you. We appreciate your support. It doesn't go unnoticed. So thank you. This week's toxic love story is a crazy, crazy one. I'm not even gonna lie to y'all. I'm sure I've told y'all before, growing up, I was like, I want to be a stay-at-home mom. I want to have 5 kids. You know, that was my life. I had planned it out. I didn't have no man, didn't know no man, that was in my mind. You know what I mean? So I had these plans that's what I was going to be. And then when I ended up having cardiomyopathy, when I got pregnant with my daughter, and the doctor was like, listen, you can have more kids, but it's going to be worse. Like, you think you almost died now, let me show you something. So it was like, there are women out here who can't even have children. So I was blessed to be able to even have the one that I had. So I was like, okay, well, I could just be, ungrateful at the fact that I can't have more kids. And I'm not gonna lie, I was mad for a long time. Listen, I was mad at God. I was like, it's folks out here popping out kids, they don't even like kids. Like, I'm not understanding, make it make sense, the math ain't mathing, God. And I can only have one. And so for a long time I was so angry. But that's how you know. Because if I would have had 5 kids, y'all, listen, y'all would be talking about me, listening to me on her. I love the kids. I love the kids. But 5 of them, God knew what I needed, not what I wanted, okay? So I ended up having my daughter. And although I only have one, like, I'm very, very protective over her. And I know I should be better at it. She's grown. But she's all I got. Like, I don't have a backup plan. And I'm not saying that if you have more than one kid, if you lose one, that it's not bad at all. I promise I'm not saying that. All I'm saying is that I don't have a plan B if something happened to her. I don't have
it's it. That's all. I don't have no other kids to lean on to support. Like, that's it. So I'm very, very protective over her. So when I was doing the research on this story, I was like, oh, wow, I can't even imagine what this lady was going through. Okay, so come with me back to December the 20th, 1991. Hazel Snow had an appointment to meet her daughter, Lori's guidance counselor at the school. But when she gets to the school, she finds out that the guidance counselor wasn't there. Like, there was no appointment. Like, what's going on? Like, did I get my days mixed up? I don't know. So she goes back to the house because when she left, her daughter was getting ready for school. So she goes back to the house. And when she gets to the house, she's met by her neighbor who says, like, what are you doing out here? Like, I thought you was in there because I heard a whole bunch of loud noises coming from, you know, your condominium. And so Hazel's like, no, I don't know what you're talking about. But then she goes in the house, and when she gets in the house, she sees that her daughter has a rope around her neck. And I can't even imagine what Hazel was thinking. But I know that when she went in the house, that wasn't what she expected to see. Like, you don't expect to see a baby on the floor with a rope around, you know, their neck. Lori was in the apartment, and Hazel said that she went and grabbed a knife and cut the rope from around her daughter's neck. She said that after she did that, she heard her daughter moan. God, I can't even imagine. She heard her daughter moan. And then she said her daughter had several, like, neck wounds. She said that although her daughter's throat was slit, she did state that she knew who did this to her. And she said the name. Hazel said that she said, Michelle did this to me. And Hazel was not surprised by the name Michelle, because Michelle was a common name in the Show household. It absolutely was. 19-year-old Michelle, well, her name was Lisa Michelle Lambert, a.k.a. Michelle, because she went by her middle name because she was super cool. You know what I mean? Totally rad. Now, she had been stalking Lori and had even shown up at this chick's job. And it wasn't like she was just stalking her. She had a warrant out for her arrest because of her threatening to kill Lori Show. So, like, She was with the smoke. She wanted all the smoke. She wanted it all. And the thing about it is, the police hadn't arrested her because they said that they could not find Michelle to arrest her. And that's crazy, because had they picked up Michelle, this story might not have went the way it went. Because Michelle was mad because her boyfriend Lawrence had dated Lori for a short period of time. And when I say a short period of time, it was a very short period of time. Now, 15-year-old Michelle had dropped out of school and had been kicked out of her parents' house because they accused her of stealing money from them. Now, at this point, Michelle had moved in with her boyfriend in a trailer in the woods. And it was here she found out that Lawrence had a brief fling with Lori. And so Michelle lost it. Like, I kid you not. Michelle was like, what the hell? She couldn't understand. And then at this time, Michelle is also stating that she's pregnant. And Michelle would go on later to state that she just wanted, you know, Lori to go away. She was pregnant, and she was basically just a thorn in their relationship. And so she would call and harass, you know, Lori. Now, mind you, although Michelle don't stay with her mama no more, she grown. She out on her own. She living in the woods. Lori still stay with her mama. She still got rules. So Miss Hazel not understanding why come this girl is calling her house back to back to back, threatening her daughter, screaming, cussing her out. And then let's not answer the phone. Miss Hazel said Michelle would just let the phone ring and ring and ring and ring and ring and ring and ring. And it had gotten to the point where Miss Hazel just had to change the number. She was just like, look, enough is enough. I don't even want to deal with this no more. So she goes and she gets the number changed, thinking that, okay, maybe this would stop her from calling. Maybe she'll see. And while researching the story, I was wondering, why was Michelle so mad? Why was she screaming every time she called the house about how, you know, Lori had ruined her life? Like, what was going on? And I was wondering, did he cheat on her? With, you know, did Lawrence cheat on Michelle with Lori or something like that? But everything that I found out said that Lawrence and Michelle were broken up during the time that Lawrence had dated Lori. But due to Michelle's constant calling and stalking, that relationship didn't last long. Like, listen, Lori was like, I don't got time for that. I don't. Like, and I commend you, Lori. I commend you. You don't got, no. First of all, I'm not finna put up with your crazy ex-girlfriend. No, I'm dating you, not y'all. That's what, we're not gonna do that. We're not gonna do that. So anyway, so she breaks up with him. Notice, she breaks up with him. Lawrence didn't break up with her. And not only did Lori say that she broke up with him because Michelle was crazier than a bat out of hell, she said that Lawrence had raped her. So it wasn't even just Michelle. Lori was like, I don't want to fool with none of them. Like, leave me alone. And so she left him alone. And her mother said that she didn't want to go to the police because she feared, you know, Lawrence and Michelle. She did. And I can understand why she would, because one day Lori was with her friends at a shopping mall, like a little strip mall, whatever. And Michelle and Lawrence drive up. Michelle hops out the car and slaps Lori and then proceeds to bang her head against, you know, against the door. Like, what is life? Like, Michelle had a set of balls on her, baby. I'm telling you. But remember, who did she have to answer to? She didn't stay with her parents. She stayed with her boo. You know what I mean? But what's crazy is that Lawrence was like, I guess what's crazy is that he wasn't trying to stop it. You know what I mean? He wasn't like, oh, well, let me be the bigger man. He got a high off of the fact that Michelle was fighting over him. But he wasn't even with Lori. Lori didn't even want to be with him. But, you know, I don't know if maybe Lawrence was, you know, feeding Michelle information that wasn't true, which we know sometimes some men will do. Or if Michelle just really hated her just because she had a piece of her man? Or was it the fact that Michelle was pissed off because her soon-to-be baby's daddy was now known as a rapist? Because although Lori didn't go to the police, she wasn't quiet about it. Like, she wasn't telling anyone who would listen, but she called him out on his stuff. She and her mom did too. Like, don't, what's wrong with you? Why would you do that to my daughter? So Michelle said that was another reason why she was mad. She was like, why are you going around here saying that my man raped you? Like, he don't gotta rape you. He got me. He don't need you. Like, this is where her mom was at. Like, any, like, just the fact that Lori was breathing made Michelle hot. Like, it just got under her skin. She just could not stand this girl. And it wasn't a secret at all. Both women were absolutely beautiful. I kid you not. And they had their entire life ahead of them. So much, you know, so many hopes, so many dreams. So to hear that Michelle was choosing violence behind Lawrence, it just breaks my heart. It absolutely does. Lawrence had a commitment to Michelle, not to Lori. He didn't. But who did Michelle have to tell, have, you know, in her life to tell her, you know, enough is enough. Like, you gotta stop. Now, Lori didn't have that problem because her mother stepped in and said enough is enough. And she took Lori to file a police report after the incident where, you know, Michelle just decided, I'm just gonna pull up and start swinging on you. She was like, okay, no, that's not okay. So she takes her to the police station to file a report, hoping that this could maybe put some fear into this Great Value Bonnie Clyde couple. Maybe it could simmer them down. Maybe they'd be like, okay, look, she got a mom in her life, who care? Like, let's stop playing these reindeer games with her. But by the time the police got involved, it would be too late. Hazel would come home a month later from her daughter's school, only to find out that her 16-year-old daughter was dying, but also that guidance counselor appointment, that was all fake. It was all set up to get her out of the house so that they could go in and kill her daughter. Her only daughter, might I add, who she came in the house and found on the floor dying. And there was nothing that she could do except be there for her. You know what I mean? Like, and it sucks because sometimes that's the only thing you can do is be there for someone. And that's all she could do is just be there for her baby until her baby passed away. Because she never made it to the hospital. She never made it alive out of the house. When they took Lori out of the house, she was already pronounced dead. And they knew who to look for because Michelle had already shown who she was, and she wasn't quiet about it. She wasn't quiet about her hate for Lori. Michelle had tried to recruit several people to hurt Lori. Several, okay? And if she wasn't trying to get someone to hurt her, then she was telling anyone who would listen that she was going to get rid of her. So the police didn't have to go far to find their suspects or who they thought might have done this to, you know, this beautiful girl. As a matter of fact, they didn't have to go far at all. They just had to go down to the local bowling alley. There, they would find Michelle, Lawrence, and a friend of theirs named Tabitha Buck. The police pull up on this trio, and Michelle doesn't have any marks on her, but Tabitha does. Like, she actually has a huge gash, and the police ask her about it. They're like, hey, homie, what's up? Like, what's this on your face? Like, you know what I mean? And then Michelle jumps in, not Tabitha, not the girl who has the gash on her face. Michelle jumps in and she's like, hey, we got into a fight with some Hispanic girls earlier, and apparently Tabitha, yeah, she lost, as you can tell. And the police might have believed this story if Michelle had not already had a warrant out for her arrest for the for Lori, for harassing her, for threatening to kill her, and then all of a sudden this young lady ends up dead. So they take him in for questioning, and then once they get to the police station, Lawrence says that he dropped Michelle and Tabitha off at Lori's house, but only because they wanted to fight Lori. They just wanted to fight. That was it. They didn't want to kill her. They just wanted to fight. That's it. That's all. So I can't make this up, y'all. I cannot make this up. I can't. So he dropped them off like it was a high school dance. And then brother went to McDonald's. Okay. Listen. So after he gives the girls a ride to drop them to go fight, he go to McDonald's for about 15 minutes. Cause that's how long the fight's going to take. This is what he said. So then he comes back and he picks them up and he says that the girls smell funny. So he took them to take a shower, and then he dropped Tabitha off at school. So after he drops Tabitha off at school, Lawrence tells the police that Michelle finally confesses to him that after they went to go beat up, you know, Lori, they accidentally stabbed her in the back, and then they felt bad that she was in pain and they didn't want her to suffer, so they decided to slit her throat because they didn't want her to suffer. I'm just saying, man, listen with friends like these, you don't need no enemies. I'm just saying, for real. Come on now. I didn't want you to suffer, so I didn't call 911. I did not come to your house so you wouldn't even be in this situation. I didn't call your mama because I knew where she was at, because I sent her on this wild goose chase. I slit your throat. That's what I did because I didn't want you to be in pain. Man. The day before, Lauren said that they went to get rope and the other things that, you know, Tabitha and Michelle used to kill Lori. Now, y'all know that Michelle was in the other room telling a different story, because that's how it goes down. She over here singing a whole nother tune. She's over here telling the police that she did go to Lori's house, but it was not to kill her. She said that she went to her house to tell her that she was no longer going to stalk, slap, bother, threaten, manipulate, put fear in. She just basically was like, I was just going to her house to tell her that, you know, I was done being the mean girl. You know what I mean? I was done. Michelle says that when they got to the house and Lori opened up the door and saw it was them, she tried to close the door as any person would. Like, what are y'all doing here? I don't know y'all, and y'all, this is the girl you didn't threaten to kill me. Why am I finna let you in my house? Cause I'm not. So when she goes to close the door, Michelle says that Tabitha, not her, pushes the door in and they make their way into the house. Once inside, Michelle says Tabitha takes over and a fight ensues and takes place. And unfortunately, Lori passes away. Which is a sad story, but all my sales know that you don't have to pull the trigger to actually be a murderer. Michelle knew what was going to happen before they even got there. You know what I mean? She knew, even if the goal wasn't to kill her. I mean, if you were just going to talk, why do you need rope? Make it make sense. You know what I mean? And say Michelle didn't do it. Say she just knew about it. She could have stopped it, but she didn't. She did nothing. You know what I mean? At the least, she was an accomplice to murder. At the most, she was the mastermind behind it. But I'm gonna go with the mastermind, because Michelle seemed like a mean girl. Like, I kid you not, she did. Michelle thought she was that girl. She didn't have no mama to tell her what to do. She didn't have no rules. She could do what she wanted to do. And that's what she did. Unfortunately, she didn't have any boundaries. And it ended up leading her to a place where I'm sure she didn't think that she would end up going. You know what I mean? She was young. She thought that she didn't have, you know, like, there were no consequences to her actions. I mean, her parents, she stole from them and she got kicked out. And so then she got to do what she wanted to do. So it wasn't like that was a bad thing for her. She felt like, oh, okay, well, look, what's the worst that could happen to me? I could get kicked out. Well, that was fun. So, I mean, and then at that stage, I'm not saying that she didn't know right from wrong, but I am saying that she was still a baby. She didn't have somebody telling her, look, that's not okay. Like, sit your tail down somewhere. You know, she didn't have Miss Hazel there for her. And I mean, and I'm not even going to get into the friends, because I want to know about, I wasn't there, but I'm just hoping that Lori's friends wasn't just sitting there when that girl came and was slapping her and knocking her upside her head. I'm hoping that our friends was helping out. Somebody was calling 911. Somebody was calling Jesus on the main line. I just hope that they wasn't just sitting there watching their friend get beat up, because I don't know. It just don't sit well with my spirit when I think about that. I just don't really like that at all. So anyway, Michelle gets arrested and she goes to jail. And while she's in jail, she tells them, listen, I got raped by the police a couple of months before, and this is all a setup. Like, they set me up. And so after being sentenced to life, she gets released for 10 months. And they let her out because the judge says that they believe that she's telling the truth, that this was a setup, and she gets to go home. Well, then another judge is like, no. That's not right. It doesn't matter if she was there and killed her or was there and didn't kill her. It doesn't matter if the police raped her before, they were wrong for that, but she's gonna pay for this girl's murder. And he sentenced her to go back to prison. So me, in my mind, I'm like, where's the baby at? Did she just lie? Because she told this girl she was pregnant. Like, I'm reading all this stuff. Where is the baby at? Was there a baby? You know, some girls lie about being pregnant, and I'm thinking, okay, Michelle, you lied about that. That's what you did, huh? Because I really did. I was ready to call this girl a liar. I was like, okay, I'm looking. I don't see no baby. I'm watching the stories. I'm not hearing about no baby. I hear her threatening Lori, saying, listen, if my baby dies, you gonna die. I hear her saying that, but I don't see no pictures of her pregnant. I don't see anything. But guys, guess what? There was a baby. Right. I'm wiping the egg off of my face as we speak. There was a baby. Michelle gave birth to a baby while she was in prison, and her parents have custody of the baby, and they raised the baby. And Lawrence ended up actually being sentenced to only a year in prison. But then guess what? You got in trouble for lying. Listen, these is the most lying kids ever. Got in trouble for lying. So then he was sentenced to 10 to 20 years, but he's out of jail now. Guess who's not out of jail? Michelle. So I'm just saying, you did all this for Lawrence and his reputation, and you not with him. He out. Your baby, who you was willing to kill for, is out. She don't have a mama or daddy. You know what I mean? I mean, she has the mama or daddy, but you know, her mom and her real dad in her life. Like, she never got to experience that. She never got to experience the joys of knowing, you know, her mom and dad were a couple, of knowing that her mom and dad weren't in prison for murdering someone. She never got to experience that. Her mom and dad were her grandparents. And so I'm, you know, is it worth it? For what? Because by all accounts, Lori did not want this man. She didn't. So what are we doing all this for, Michelle? Because now what do we have to show for it? Because we're in jail. I mean, she did write a book. I'm not going to lie to y'all. She did. And I'm not saying y'all know I'm not saying that, because I've said time and time again that if you're still breathing, you still have purpose. You do. So your past doesn't get to dictate your future. The choices you made in the past don't determine who you are forever. So Michelle made a mistake. So does that mean that the rest of her life has to be a mistake? No, because she's paying for it in jail. She actually wrote a book, and it's her side of the story. And the book basically, I'm not going to lie to y'all, it doesn't really shed much more light on what everything else that I found out, but it does give some insight into Michelle's world. It's kind of like everybody was always out to get her. She was never wrong. She was always the victim. That's my opinion. Didn't nobody pay me for this, so it's free. I'm giving it out like the love that I give. But no, that's the vibe that I got from it. Like, she felt like it was always somebody else. It was never ever her. She was the victim. You know what I mean? Victim Michelle. But what's so crazy is that although you were the victim, everybody else had to pay for it. Like, you were the victim, but Lori had to pay for it with her life. You were the victim, but your child had to pay for it by being raised by her grandparents. You were the victim, but Tabitha had to go to jail. Not Tabitha had a choice, but had y'all not brought this to Tabitha's head, Tabitha wouldn't know to go kill this girl. You know what I mean? So you're the victim, but everybody else has to pay the price for you being the victim. I don't like that. I don't like it. Hopefully, you know, Miss Michelle is well over 47 years old. Hopefully she's made the decision that, you know, I'm not going to be the victim. I'm going to be the victor. I'm going to own my stuff. You know what I mean? You get better once you own your stuff, once you start looking at yourself and seeing, like, look, I'm the problem. I look at myself and I'm like, I'm the problem. Eugene told me the other day, he was like, you get on here and you be trying to make these people think you perfect. No, I don't. And if I do seem like I am, I'm not. I'm flawed as they come, as they come. I miss days that I'm supposed to post. I'm mean. You know what I mean? I'm flawed. I'm not perfect. I have my days. I do. I absolutely do. I love hard, though. When I'm wrong, I call myself out on it. If I think I did you wrong, I'm gonna apologize for it. And I'm gonna keep getting better every single day, because that's what I choose to do. And hopefully that's what you choose to do. And I hope that if you are in a relationship today and it's not a relationship that is making you a better you, I pray that you choose you. I pray that you get out of that relationship. And if you need help, you can always reach out to us at Such a Lady, or you can reach out to the National Domestic Hotline at 1-800-722-SAFE. They will be more than happy to help you. You don't have to scream it from the mountaintops that you're leaving. I say it all the time. Sometimes it's best to move in silence. But whatever you do, choose you, because everything that is waiting and everything that is great and everything that is meant for you is on the other side of your comfort zone. But you got to choose you first. Thank you guys for tuning in. Y'all know where to meet us at. Such a Lady 30 on Instagram, Such a Lady on Facebook. I love y'all. I hope y'all have a great week. Don't forget to be great on purpose. Choose joy and don't be out here killing nobody. And if you do, you better not tell nobody but God. I love you. Thanks for tuning in to Such a Lady.